you're stupid, you're dumb, you're crazy. And what do you say? Yeah, I've been stupid, dumb, and crazy. And what do I say? Be careful. Because wherever you're living is what you're experiencing. So if you're saying at any time in your life you're stupid, you're terrible, you're dumb, then that's what you are right now. Because if that's what you say about the past or any other time, you're saying it now.
Yeah.
Because I would like to introduce myself. I'm Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Instant Illumination. I would like to introduce you to yourself. Now, where do you live? Well, I live... No, you don't. You don't live in a house. You don't live in an apartment. You don't live in a bus. You don't live in anything. You know where you live? You live in the allness, because you're divine. You live in the allness. Now, out of the allness are experiences that you called good and you called bad and you called fun and you called not fun. And every time you think about them, now, Sylvia, how many people do you know that love to reminisce, talk about the past?
None.
Good for you. Good for you. Kind of a quiet life, isn't it? But people love to reminisce about the past because that's where their attention is. That's where their happiness was. They're not being happy right here and right now. Can you imagine if a person were being happy right here and right now, he would have no reason to think about the past?
Mm-hmm.
No reason. He'd have no reason to live in memories. He'd have no reason to regurgitate the past. And what an ugly thing to do, right? Regurgitating the past. You know what regurgitate means? You barf. Now, is this what you guys do? Do you regurgitate the past? Well, if I were to play a disc of you, and I should do that sometime, you would be amazed at how much reminiscences you do. I would never say anything like that. That's a reminiscence. Because how can you say, I would never say something like that, if you hadn't said something like that, that you're not going to say something like that again, you know? And you would say, it would never be unkind. Now, I would never tell my neighbors that they couldn't have my pears, you know? I would never say that. But Jason's mother, she goes around telling the neighbors, help yourself. Here's a ladder. But remember, if you fall off the ladder and break your neck, that's on you. You're trespassing on our property. Well, then what do you put the ladder out there? I can have a ladder on my property if I want. If I want to reach up there and get it, I can. But now, do you think Jason's mother would ever be such a low-brow character that she would say to somebody, now don't fall down and hurt yourself? Because what is she doing when she says that?
Putting a cause in motion.
She's putting a cause in motion that the possibility is there. Not only the possibility, the probability, not only the probability, but the actuality.
Mm-hmm.
She sees them falling down and breaking their neck and then suing her. And so, what does she do? She goes out and gets insurance. No, what does she do? Ellen?
She surrounds the house and the property with the pure white light of love.
Yes and no. Ellen? Yes. What does she do?
She says, I am the pure white light of
Period.
Love.
No reason for it. No motivational reason for being the pure white light of love. But what?
Just being it.
Just being it. Okay, now. If she is the pure white light of love, what can happen in her world? Pure white light of love things, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah? Now, I say this to you, and I want you to hear it with all your heart and soul and being. you call yourself a Christian, which is living in the past. And so now, you call yourself a Christian, and you call yourself an irrational person. And you call yourself an irrational person because you say that Jesus taught God is a God of love. Okay? And then you have Jesus saying that God is a God who throws the evil ones into the roaring fire. Isn't that a lovely God? My goodness sakes. Now, let's just get this straight right now, even though we're talking about the past. Could Jesus have defined his God of love like that?
No.
It's impossible. Could God be a God of love and a God of judgment?
No.
What does God do as we all go through our experiences in life? He sits back in
smiling repose.
Like Emerson said, he sits back in smiling repose. Emerson is a great transcendentalist, and it's kind of interesting to read him. But think about it. God, as a concept, is sitting back in smiling repose. Now, let's just take that phrase. God as a concept. Okay, now let's just throw God out. And let's say the principle as a concept sits back in smiling repose. Can you appreciate that? Mm-hmm. Can you see that 2 times 2 sits back and does not say, you got to say 2 times 2 is 4, and you got to say 2 times 2 is 4. The principle doesn't say that. The principle just is. And when you use the principle the way it is designed to be used, then everything works out for you. Now, if you're going to misuse the principle, now you're not misusing it, you're using it wrong. How would you say it? Non-beneficially. Yeah. let's stop and think about that. Think, Lord, what am I really saying about the principle when you use it non-beneficially? What am I really saying about the principle?
The principle, you can use it in any way. In the good way.
Now, I'm going to stop you. The principle is the principle.
Yes.
2 times 2 is 16, right?
Yes.
No! It's 4.
Four.
Listen to me, not just bouncing around saying everything I say is right. That's what gets us in trouble. Okay, Jesus said it and I believe it, you know. Well, Jesus didn't say it. Okay, so now, 2 times 2 is 4. Is that the principle? 2 times 2 is 5. Is that the principle?
2 is 5.
Is that the principle?
No.
The answer is no. Just like you said, the answer is no. 2 times 2 is 5 is not the principle. It is not the principle. And you see, if we are going to use the principle, then we have to use the principle. That's why the principle sits back in smiling repose and watches people pretend to use the principle, and they're not using it. Why does the teacher sit up in the class giggling to herself? You guys will find out. You'll find out how nice this is pretty soon. And then she says, oh, hell. And of course, the teacher doesn't say that. But the teacher says, oh, hell. And she says, class, stand up. You too, Johnny. Now stand up right now. And then she teaches them what? She teaches them what her friend from Sound of Music did. 2 times 2 is 4. Remember?
No.
No? Don't you remember when the children were singing these songs?
Do, do, do,
and
do,
yes, that too.
Do,
do. Ellen, she didn't just teach them one thing. Who else taught them that thing? Pinocchio and everybody else. But you see, 2 times 2 is 4. And what did, all right, do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. And then she made words out of the words so that they would remember them. Mm-hmm. And what did they do?
They remembered.
They sang them and they remembered them and they were happy with them. And they learned good stuff. Mm-hmm. So the teacher in class, sitting there giggling at her students, she looks at them and says, now stand up, you too, Johnny, you know, stand up. And she says, all right, now, Johnny, 2 times 2 is what? Johnny says, 4. And teacher says, yeah, you're right. Okay, let's all do it together. Johnny has taught us what 2 times 2 is. You know, Johnny feels real good now. He's going to stand up quicker because the teacher put him in the spotlight. And so, 2 times 2 is 4. 2 times 2 is 4. 2 times 2 is 4. Who could ask for anything more? Oh, oh, oh. 2 times 2 is 4. And you see, pretty soon they're all singing 2 times 2 is 4. And then the teacher says, oh, now, what rhymes with 6? 2 times 3 is 6. I love picking up sticks. Did you ever learn that 2 times 3 is 6? Do you have any picks? Do you have any sticks? Do you have any stories to tell? 2 times 3 is 6, and you tell it, and you won't go to hell. And so, oh, teacher, you said hell. And you see, that's good. And the teacher says, well, do you want to go there?
No.
Where is hell?
I don't know, but I'm not going there, you know.
And so you make a game out of it. And if you have children say bad things in good context, they don't have to say bad things in bad context to get attention. You follow me? Mm-hmm. And so when the teacher makes these words part of the program, now, what's bad about saying hell? Well, it's how people use it. Is hell a bad place?
Oh, yes, 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 yes.
How do you know? Been there? Done that? Now, class, and I'm your third grade teacher, class, who created everything?
I.
Mommy? Daddy? Who created everything?
God.
Huh?
God.
God. Yes, that's right. That's what they learned. God. Now, is God good?
Yes.
Teacher is teaching religion in school. No. 2 times 2 is 4. Is that good or bad? It's just something that you use it, it's good. If you don't use it, it's good too. It's always good. Now, 2 times 2 is 6. That's a lie. That's bad, they say. That's hell, you know? Anything that isn't going where you want to go is not good. So, the teacher has a student singing, and she has a special slide projector. And on her slide projector, which she pumps up in the front wall, and she has her little pointer that she points at a little gadget in front of her, she has these phrases. And so then they see how it's done. And then she says, Anita, go over and write 2 times 2 equals. So Anita goes over to the board and writes 2 times 2 equals, and she puts a big 4 there. And the teacher says, oh, Anita, what have you done? And he said, why? What'd I do? I asked you to put 2 times 2 equals there. Not what it equals, but equals. Yeah, but I knew what it equals, but that doesn't the point. You leave it off. And so then the teacher says, okay, now, who wants to go up there and write 2 times 2 equals? And so all the girls want to do that because they like doing that. So they get up there and do it. And then the teacher says, now, all the girls have written 2 times 2 equals. And they all wrote it with white chalk on the blackboard. Now, I have a whiteboard over here. And I want all the boys to come up and choose a color and write 2 times 2 equals. Now, every boy should come up here and try to get a different color. If you get the same one, it's okay, but try to get a different color. And so, the last boy didn't have a color just for himself. So, he took 6 color pencils, and he made da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Every letter had 6 colors in it. Uh-huh. And the teacher says, now that is really creative.
Yeah.
That is beautiful. And then he said to the little dum-dum in the back of the class, who was always acting stupid and always acting like he didn't know what was going on, she says, Jason, come up here. And so Jason came up there, and the teacher said, class, I have a surprise for you. Jason doesn't know about this yet, but I have a surprise for you. Jason is going to write all the answers on the board and write them correct. Jason, what is 2 times 2? And Jason says, 4. And the teacher says, wonderful. Now, behind every one of the 2 times 2, you write your 4. And you can use all one color, or you can use all the different colors we got, but go up there and do it very quickly. Put a 4 and 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 a 4, 30 times for the rest of the students in the class. And so Jason is up there sweating away, putting up the 4, and the teacher says, Jason knew the answer. We did too, we did too. No, you didn't. The answer is to do what you're asked to do. And if you always do what you're asked to do, you'll do the right thing. Now, did Jason write on the board 2 times 2 equals?
No.
No. No. Did you all write 2 times 2 equals?
Yeah.
Why?
Because they told you.
That's what you asked us to do, teacher. And Jason, what did I ask you to do? Say it loud enough so that the world...
To write the answer.
Write the answer. And Jason, what's the answer?
4.
Wonderful. And how many times did you write 4 on the board, Jason? Pay attention now. You know the number.
30.
You! And 30 students in the class wrote 2 times 2 equals.
Oh,
and then you were asked to come up and put the 4. Now, what number are you?
31.
31. You see? Mm-hmm. You have to think about these things.
Yeah.
And it's not bad, but you got to think about it. Because how many days of the week did Jesus create the world in? How many days of the week did God use to create the world according to the Bible?
6.
Ellen, let someone else give the answers. You know all the answers. You're so smart. How many days, Anita?
6.
How many days, Ingeborg?
6.
How many days, sir?
6.
Oh, he's so smart. How many days, Ellen?
6.
And how many days?
6.
How many days, love?
6.
How many days, Rex? Right. Right. Very good. That was 6. Now, why didn't you say 7? That's when Ellen took a nap. But, you see, and when we don't listen, then we're all confused. Now, is there a law that says God created everything in 6 days?
A law?
That's what it says. Is there a law?
No.
So, does it have to be that way?
Nope.
Do you think that God is so inferior, and I use the word wisely, that God is so inferior that he's got to take 7 days to do something? How many people did God create on earth? Just Adam and Eve, huh? How many fish did God create in the sea? How many birds in the sky? And how many animals and so forth? And on what day did he create them? Zoom! On what day did he create all the plants and the trees? On what day did he put all the stars in the sky? The moon and the sun and everything else? Attention here. How many days did he take to do that? According to the Bible, 1. We think it's an endless job, don't we? It's very important for us to stop thinking and start doing. What is the phrase that I have given you that is correct, and what is the phrase that I've given you that's not correct? God created all. Period. Why would we stay 7 days? There's no logic to it, because in 24 hours it would be impossible to even count that number of creatures that were brought forth in 1 hour. No, in 1 day. No way. No. So that's our logical mind. So we get unlogical and we say God created all, period. Now, what is God? Who is God? Somebody want to give me that answer?
I.
What is God? Who is God? Principle. God's not a man or a woman. Not a hermaphrodite. Not a child. Not an animal. You've seen the Animal Kingdom show where the animals rule the earth. This came after, what was that movie where the Planet of the Apes, I think it was, where the apes were put in subjection, and then soon the apes took over and ruled the world. How interesting, you know? Roddy McDowell was in that, and he played the lead ape, you know. But fascinating. Just fascinating. Now, what's that all about? There is no being that created the earth. This is an attitude. And did it create the earth? What did, quote, quote, God do when he created anything? He revealed what already existed. Now, I'm going to reveal to you, Mr. Jason, a zillion, billion, trillion things right now. Bunk! Now, you just turn your head and you look at that field of grain. And every little grain is a separate creation. Every little piece of stuff around the grain and the stem and the ground and things like that, they're all separate. They're all unique. They're all perfect. They're all divine. Neat. Now, did God create that? No. What did God do?
Reveal.
He revealed that which already exists. And that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? So when we start thinking that way, beautiful things happen to us. So think about that, okay?
Yes.
Okay.
Because that's what makes the world go round. And just remember, you are God. You're 2 times 2 is 4. You're the allness of the universe. And you are 23 minutes, right on the head. So have a lovely day and think beautiful thoughts.
Thank you.
And know that I love you.
Love you.
I love you.
Love you.
I love you.